Hello and welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
Jordan Poland Clark still with us.
Still
don't know how we're distributing these, so you might have heard her just last week. You might not have heard her yet. No, it would have happened already because it's Valley Girl. We're either going in order, I don't know, whatever.
We're going close to order, I
today's
think.
Wild at Heart. This is my second favorite movie of all time, I think. This is my favorite Cage movie. So many things to talk about in this movie. Mm. We are watching the Blu-ray, which was put out a couple years ago by, what was that company?
Twilight Time. This is only the second time I've ever seen this movie.
Seriously?
I loved it when we watched it for Cage Club, but I haven't watched it since because we had so much other stuff to watch.
Wow. All right. So we are going to start playing in 3, 2, 1, go.
And it starts off with a bang, if I recall.
Oh, it's so good. I hope you see all kinds of things you didn't notice before.
Like Bobby Peru's teeth.
This is Joey and mine. Fourth time watching this together?
At least third.
Huh.
Well, you fell asleep the first time, so this is why Jordan and I have a very special history with this movie, because the first time we ever hung out at school, I went over to your apartment?
No, I went to yours.
You went to mine, and just halfway through the movie, she just curls up in a little ball at the foot of my bed and just goes to sleep. And I was like, oh, this girl that I barely know apparently is comfortable enough around me to, like, fall asleep. And then she woke up, and she's like, all right, bye.
Wait, but after the movie and everything?
After the movie, yeah. She slept through the entire movie. I just watched the whole movie.
Yeah, well, I have a history of sleeping during movies, which I don't do anymore.
All throughout college,
that's what I did.
You were so happy. I still remember you messaged me one time, and you were like, I don't fall asleep in movies anymore. And, like, that was, like, a big accomplishment. Like,
it was.
But then Jordan and I saw it again in the theater with the guy who wrote the book.
Oh, cool.
Barry Gifford was there, and he was selling his book.
Where was that?
That was in New York. Was IFC Center?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. The Yankees were in the World Series, I think. And it was like a World Series game.
I remember they checked in, like they
had a guy come in and like, yeah, well, they're losing right now, so maybe
it.
That was...
Yeah, that make it?
I guess it could have been. No, what? It was after 2009, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I moved to the city in 2010.
I can't remember
if I was already living there when we
I
went.
Don't remember anything else we did that day. I just remember...
This movie sets itself up to be like Backdraft or something with all this fire.
There's a lot of fire.
It's
Joey,
beautiful.
Did you ever read the
I did.
Barry
I read all of them.
Are they good?
They are. Well, so the first... So it's like six short stories. Actually, I haven't... There's a new one that he put out like 2 years ago that I haven't read yet. They're all about Sailor and Lula, and they... Spoiler alert, live through the end. I think they might both die of old age in the final one or something.
Oh,
I don't remember.
That's good to know, though. I wasn't sure
they
were going to make it.
But no, their love perseveres.
Okay,
well,
good.
Well, that's like, that was like, and I had seen this movie before the time I fell asleep in your bed.
I think that was the first time I saw it, though.
And, but it didn't occur to me, like, this is a beautiful love story. Until we saw Barry Gifford talk about it.
Yeah. Somewhere near the border between North and South Carolina.
And
nothing good ever happens in Cape Fear. I have that feel, like, especially in films.
All the first short story is this, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a bunch that are, like, about, like, I think Sailor goes to jail for a while, but, like, Lula stays faithful to him.
Goes
and then,
to
like,
jail again, right?
Yeah, and then, like, there's, like, stories about, like, their kids
there
and stuff.
Is.
It's all, like, kind of...
There they are.
Oh, maybe that... Is that the... No, that's not the dress she's
not
wearing.
The dress.
It's close.
Someone else wearing a pink dress.
Oh, I gotta put on the close
captions. This guy is not long for this world. I love her expressions in this film.
Like, this is the first thing you hear in this movie. You're like, what is going on?
Look at her face.
Everyone's face in this movie, I feel, is like their best face.
Like,
they're really acting. Which works for this, though.
We're 3 minutes into the movie. We're, like, 45 seconds into actual, like, footage. And we already have a C word dropped. And now Sailor's about to kill this guy with his bare hands.
It's about to be disgusting.
Yeah, this is super brutal.
And then he has the best point. Like, Cage, in a lot of the Cage movies, points.
That is a David Lynch point. Because Bobby does it in Twin Peaks, too. Like, exactly the same
but
point.
This is
He's kind of got a lot of Bobby
in him. But
this is
the greatest
point.
He
does have some Bobby.
She's amazing. I mean, that is horror show stuff right
here. Still not done yet.
There's a lot of brains falling out of heads in this movie.
Like, even nowadays, I feel like things don't really get this graphic and linger.
I mean, we just watched Total Recall. Like, it's 80s, 90s. Yes. It's just, it's of the era.
I mean,
here we go. He's like, I'm coming for you, Marietta.
That's awesome.
It's so this whole thing is in the a sense it's Wizard of Oz, right? It's like it's not like a it's not straight up Wizard of Oz, but it's like definitely
inspired by. Yeah, I feel like every time he sort of lost his way, he thought back to Wizard of Oz and the structure of that and the characters and that and
Marietta is the Wicked Witch.
Yes, very, and like here, literally with the crystal ball, like
Yeah, absolutely. Is Sailor the Scarecrow? If Lula is Dorothy,
Sailor.
Or maybe they both represent Dorothy, the two sides of her.
We do have Cage in prison, though, which is going to happen in so many Cage movies. Always in prison.
Yeah, home away from home.
Oh, I just realized that we're going to have to rewatch Amos and Andrew for this. And
oh man, I just hope we don't have to put a guest through that.
We're going to. Well, I'm not going to. We're not going to sit through that alone. I'm going to make someone sit down and watch that and Guarding Tess and whatever other ones we hate.
Oh, yeah. Day. Well, they should have to watch both of those.
Just bang them out all in a row. Just somebody we hate. Jordan, we got some great movies for you to watch.
Yeah, good charity. Watch some bad ones.
Cage with his black hair, too. I feel like that's not his normal shade. He looks good with it, though. Really plays that greaser well. And her, she's just like... So, like, everything, I feel like she's over-passionate about everything.
Well, because she's, like, what is she, 17 or 18 in this movie?
Oh,
like,
that's right. Everything's like the end of the world. I forgot. I forget how young she is.
Well, I think we talked about this last time, but she's always... everybody is.
Oh, yeah, you were on the podcast for this, right?
Yeah, we did this already.
We're on the same conversation.
We're just going to do the same podcast again. But everyone's always breathing really heavy in this.
She breathed the class here?
I feel like that's a Lynch note where it's like, things are too normal, how normal people would do it, like smile harder or breathe harder or look harder or something or strain. Oh, here comes.
Well, everything's heightened. Like, he's very aware that he's making a movie. He's not making real life. Like, he's not capturing real life.
But he's definitely commenting on it in a lot of ways, like saying this could happen in a slightly skewed universe.
frequent Cage Club. Hold on. In personal
life. That was ultimate line for Cage there.
God.
Oh, Power Mad. That's going to be a great show. Stab it in Steve.
Frequent Cage Club guest Tobin Addington from Missoula, which is where David Lynch is from. Also, maybe his favorite actress of all time is Laura Dern. I wonder if he, like, saw her and stuff before this, because this is a couple years before Jurassic Park.
I don't know. Most likely. I mean, I knew her mostly from Jurassic Park, but after seeing that, I recognized her from stuff. I haven't seen this movie since just last year, but...
She's also in Enlightened, which is great.
Citizen Ruth is amazing. That's a really good one.
Now we get all the chest hair.
And some gratuitous boobs.
I forgot about all this nudity.
I didn't. I've seen this movie like 5 or 10 times.
What is he doing with the radio? Is that some kind of metaphor for like that's the past and he's the future? I don't know. Thanks for the casual reminder.
She's had a very messed up life. And this is sort of her way out. Even though Sailor's not necessarily the best guy in the world, he's the best guy for her.
I almost feel like Mickey and Mallory are based off of them to a degree.
Probably. Ugh. Ugh.
And not just Mickey and Mallory either. Like, they're almost like a Bonnie and Clyde, and, you know, you could also say Clarence and Alabama and characters like that. But
every, like, rock and roll couple?
Yeah, but also they all come from, like, dark sexually abused backgrounds too, to a degree. I feel like at least half of them.
I wonder if that's like a comparison, like an homage, or like just a sort of a lazy shortcut, like to why these people are messed up.
I think that I don't know, we saw there, like, how, like, Marietta cares about her kid.
Yeah.
You know, she's not, she kind of becomes the enemy in this.
I also feel like it, explains a little bit about her sexual freedom and stuff like that, like wanting to own, you know, wanting to be in control of her own self and everything. And so it seems to be like her terms now. That's how I kind of saw her the first time around, is like she seems to be in control.
Lula?
Of like who can be with her, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like she's going to get taken advantage of like that again.
But she does, though, sort of. Like, she doesn't really have
Bobby, the... Bobby moment is... We'll get to it, but... When you got, like, a gun pointed at you...
Straight up Wizard of Oz reference. All the way to the end when we get Laura Palmer as Glenda the Good Witch.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she showed up.
I think Laura Dern is... She's probably about Cage's age, right?
I don't know.
So he's like 24, 25 in this.
I think she's younger than him.
He's 25, 26. She's 3 years younger. So they're like 25 and 22 playing like 20 and 18.
All right.
Or something.
Do you think that she... just doesn't want any man to touch her daughter anymore?
That could
be. And that's why she's doing this? Like, she just has become so crazy and overprotective?
Maybe.
I thought that she wanted Sailor at one point. I don't know if that's still... obviously not now she doesn't, but I thought that's... Like, we'll have that flashback in the bathroom, in the lavatories,
that goes
around, and I thought so... It was sort of like she's resented her daughter.
By him.
Yeah, but... But I also get that overprotective vibe because of what we just flashed back to as well. She's like, she caught that guy.
Yeah. I also
with her daughter.
Don't think anything in David Lynch's movies is as simple as like one explanation.
No.
Like Harry Dean Stanton, you're like the world's worst detective almost.
But he's just so in love with Marietta. In some regard at least. Like, everything is so... It's all so weird. And wonderful.
Can you guys think of any... So, part of what I really like about Sailor and Lula is that their relationship is never in question. Like, you know they're going to be together.
Yeah.
They don't fight. They don't... You know? And I love that. Like, are there other movies like that? You know, so often the conflict comes from...
Well, like, just like Two Against the World?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, True Romance, like... Alabama and Clarence, they're never... I mean, they fight at the very beginning when he thinks that, like, he finds out that she's a call girl. And, like, from then on, like, they are inseparable. They never fight in that movie, do they?
No, not to my knowledge.
What about Mickey and Mallory? I haven't seen Natural Born Killers in a while.
Yeah, they're very... I feel like, yeah, like, they break up and get back together every other sequence. Was that Bob Ray Lemon?
Bob Ray Lemon.
Great. Like, I think a part of it is just, like, being able to say a name like Bob Ray Lemon with a straight face and mean it, and...
He even stumbled on the words. He's like, I can't get this name out. Like, I get Bob Ray Lemon.
Oh, she's hammered.
Here we go. Here's the other flashback.
This is the same night, though.
Yeah. This is, like, right before he did that.
Yeah.
Which is why she lied to that guy. I'm always impressed when movies have mirrors and, like, there's... You know what I mean? Like,
no camera... Especially back then.
It's low, so obviously, like, everything's just sort of below eyesight there, but still... Like, if I ever made something, I would never have, like, a mirror or a clock, because, like, those are the two things that are just so... They just add unnecessary complications.
Now everything is digitally removed. Like, John Wick 2, when he's in that funhouse at the end of the second movie, like, you know, it's impossible not to get a camera in that shot, I feel.
Gotta add the spoiler alert to John Wick Chapter 2 for
this. Oh, yeah, they go into a hall of mirrors at the end.
What is going on? Why is that?
Nails.
Yeah, the orange.
Keanu guest Chris Mattiello said that was a reference to Enter the Dragon?
Oh, okay. I could see that. Possibly.
I just thought of the guest in that, like, that sort of funhouse.
I just thought it was a really, like, visually interesting way to have a fight.
Yeah.
I wasn't really calling anything back.
Look how her nails match her lipstick.
Yeah, the orange, right?
It's like a painting.
It kind of reminds me of pumpkins, which reminds me of witches.
Ooh. Jesus.
Quite That's literally. Great. He's polishing his shoe and she's polishing her nails.
The hair here looks a little like...
Yeah, wings.
A little like H.I. McDonough, sort of.
Because
his hair just goes out. You know, it doesn't go up or down, it just like...
Spreads.
And that's around the same
time,
too.
It's almost UFO Wolverine-y.
It almost is almost Wolverine-y.
Wolverine-ish. Oh, that is a clever detective.
She's just so, like, horny.
Yeah. And he's so Elvis.
Okay, so she was 18 before he went to prison. Now she, now that he got out, now she's 20. Why do you only go to jail for 2 years for that?
Because he was defending himself?
Yeah, the guy was trying to kill him.
Yeah.
It's like Cameron Poe, you know, it's the same Con Air rules.
Now, why would you even let yourself get into a stall?
Yeah, like, he could just leave.
Yeah, I guess I could see her being like, come on here, I gotta tell you something about Lula, and then... Yeah.
Who is this actress?
Isn't that Laura Dern's mother?
Oh, Diane Ladd. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who also comes back in Enlightened, the TV show, and she plays her mom again.
Oh, okay.
S-H-I-T. She's just so nasty.
Yeah, she...
I mean, she's very clearly mentally unhinged, but, like, just so nasty.
There's something that she really uses that Southern affect well, too, to sort of spread her menace and, like, her hate. Like, there's just something in the tone of her voice that, like, is nasty.
I feel like we now in today's society we can't describe women as nasty anymore. Like, that woman's, that word's been taken
away. It's a compliment now.
Funny. Well, just, like, mean-spirited, you know, she is.
Because she also knows how to use that same thing to manipulate men.
Mm. Yep.
Jacket is just gorgeous.
Oh, you mean the snakeskin jacket?
Mm-hmm.
Symbol of his individuality. I just love the music in this. I mean, the music in this is great. It's like it's a combination of Twin Peaks and Elvis and like just like
mayhem.
Mayhem metal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that rockabilly stuff coming through.
There's marshmallows all over the bed. I think those weren't
cotton balls for
the
toes.
Balls? Yeah. Yeah, right.
But that is a great cut between her dancing on the bed to her dancing in the club.
Oh, this is just so cool.
Strobe lights always kind of hurt my eyes. Look at that guy doing the worm. What was that even about?
This is two movies in a row that we recorded podcasts about today or commentaries about today that had crazy dancing, but here there's actually music happening.
Yes, I feel like they definitely shot this to sound because it's so precise when he calls it off.
And we're about to get to maybe my favorite scene in the movie.
That's so great. I love it. She backs up because she can't stand it. Like, he is just so amazing. But then this other dude comes in and infiltrates.
I like that he's just got ultimate control over everything.
He's the Fonz. Yeah, don't fuck with you. Look who you're talking to.
Oh, Oh, don't insult the jacket. What's a cooler jacket, that or the Scorpion one from Drive? They might be 1-2 in movie history.
That is a good one, too. I mean, what's 3? Marty McFly's jacket in Back to the Future 2? Like, where do you go?
Maybe that red, white, and blue, or the red, yellow, and blue jacket from Valley Girl that the guy was wearing at that party.
Yeah, the Michael Cera jacket. I mean, there's Danny's T-Bird jacket from Grease. Again, why not mention Grease in 2 commentaries? Ah, the Fonz's jacket, but that's TV. But that is funny. Like, oh, here we go.
Yes.
This is my favorite. This is my favorite thing. And this is when we were talking about Keanu crooning. Like,
oh my gosh, yes. And that even opened up a bigger conversation in the Dog Star episode, where it was like, you know, the idea that if you are an actor, you kind of should be able to carry a tune and should be able to sing. Like, people shouldn't be amazed when you belt one out and are good.
I do feel like Elvis is pretty relatively easy to imitate, but still, he just does it so well.
I love the screaming girls.
Yes, that's my favorite touch. Yeah, I feel like Elvis is like singing with an accent or something. Like, he, you know, it's very distinct. You have to do an Elvis impression. I must have listened to this song like every day for a month after watching this movie.
And like, all the girls are into it, but like,
it's not of the fashion, you know? Like, they were just at this speed metal concert, and suddenly he's doing a ballad, but they're all loving it.
Well, again, because like, this is not, it's not real life, it's just like whatever.
Right.
I don't even, like, it's just, oh god.
Yeah, like, is this really happening? Is this even real? Like,
right.
Who knows? And it doesn't matter anyway.
This is just where they are. Like, we're just seeing how they feel in this moment, whether it's actually happening like this or not. It's like when they go out dancing to speed metal, they hear this song when they look at each other.
Well, and when he, you know, and when they declare their love for each other in public, like, this is what they feel.
Yes. Yeah, their public displays of affections are robust. Getting a real, like, Peggy Sue Got Married vibe again when he sings in the... They got, like, the little doo-wop group.
Yep. And now they're just compromising.
Fade to yellow. They fade to a bunch of different colors while they're having sex throughout the film. And I think I mentioned on the podcast that it reminded me of, like, a rainbow and that connection to Wizard of Oz, and they're sort of, like, humping over the rainbow, like, instead of...
He did say he's not going to sing Love Me Tender to anybody but his wife, but by the end of the movie, I mean, they're not married, but stick around, we may get Love Me Tender. Just a guess.
Oh, this is a great shot, too, when they show him from the ceiling. Like, I love this reveal. You just kind of think they're talking next to each other in bed. Another Wicked Witch reference. There she is dressed as the witch, actually, there.
And, like, that's what's, like, the best part about it. It's like, she's hot, but, like, he's in love with her.
That shot. Like, I thought they were just sitting next to each other, and then it shows this and they're like intertwined. They almost look like a Siamese person or something, you know, like conjoined twins,
because it's hard to really tell, like, when their knees are out like that, like, whose knees are where.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, they're one person now.
They've really always been one person.
They're just talking about cigarettes and brands and I don't think he hasn't been really sweaty. Like, he's been sweaty in every scene. It's,
well, I mean, it's fire.
Yeah, I know. I think it's intentional, too. The wild at heart, and, like, everybody, the fire is thematic. And
I think everybody in this is pretty sweaty all the time. Say his full name every time.
Oh, I never caught the abbreviated sailor as just Sail.
Oh, yeah, no.
I didn't catch that. I didn't watch it with subtitles last time. They make a better couple than the Valley Girl couple.
Yeah.
I'm just mean, like, they look like they go together better.
Well, I mean, that was the whole thing of the Valley Girl. They're not supposed to go together. Mm. Here, like, these are, like...
Yeah, two peas in a pod.
Yep.
Oh, Cage's long nose. It got a little longer and never on Tuesday.
See, here... That's very true. See, here he's got normal teeth. Does he or no? Yeah.
Yeah,
I think
teeth
they're normal,
way better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They go through stages, though, right? Like, I think they'll get even better. That's her dad?
Yep.
Yeah.
And is this how he killed himself, or someone murdered him by lighting him on fire?
I think it was ruled that it was a suicide, but I think there's questions to be had there.
Cage's tattoo.
Is that his tattoo or is that a character?
I mean, I feel like if it was the characters, it would be more predominant. It seems like it's just, you know, let's not cover that up. Let's just say Sailor has a tattoo. But I know Cage has, he's inked up. Like, way more than I even was aware of. He's got a big badass Ghost Rider tattoo somewhere, too.
A lot of standing on beds.
Yes.
Is that a real thing people do?
Well, it made me think of when you're a kid and people always tell you not to stand on your bed or jump on your bed, but now that they're adults, they're doing it, like, all they want. And it also sort of implies, like, maybe they also aren't entirely grown up either. Yeah. I mean, she even is dressed like my little niece, you know? She's got, like, a ribbon in her hair. She's wearing, like, a nightie.
She's dressed like a Valley Girl. Like.
Or, like, a doll or something, yeah.
David Lynch loves, especially in Lost Highway, loves the
shot of the road.
That road shot.
I like that road shot, though. I like that for some reason. Now they're on the road. And that's the hitman she hires. It's like, that editing is weird, but I like it like that. You don't get that. You know, like, they just cut to her and Santos walking, and now back to the car, and then back to her. And...
Well, it's kind of disorienting.
Manslaughterer.
You're not that cool. Has she ever done anything with her dad? Bruce Dern? Did you know her dad was the Bruce Dern?
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay. I'm not especially a big fan of his stuff, to be quite honest, but...
I don't know if I've seen him in this.
I like him in, Nebraska. Well, he's in Hateful Eight. I mean, I know newer work much better than... He was in a lot of biker movies in the 70s.
He was obviously in the Hateful Eight because he was the one who, like, accidentally leaked the script and, like, almost got fired from that movie.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah.
Okay. He plays Smithers in that. I always wondered, just because, you know, she's doing this with her mom, I always wondered if she ever did anything with her dad. I feel like Santos is like a super Lynchian character for me. Like, I don't know. I just get like that vibe off of him immediately. He's just like a leisure suit hitman or something.
Like, these names are just the best. Like, Mr. Reindeer?
I forgot all about that. Isn't there that they call that weird place? And someone ends up in a room with the lady screaming, right? Someone screaming at him?
Yeah, everybody's screaming at everybody in this movie.
So Johnny is, yeah, the detective.
Johnny Farragut is
Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, yeah, Harry Dean.
Just kind of the bumbling
buffoon.
But why
does that guy want to kill Johnny?
I think he just wants to kill Johnny.
I lose like, track of that subplot a little every time.
I think
I
he's just
this.
Like, ah, that I hate that Johnny. Like, let me do them both.
They're
look
my
at
favorite.
Him saluting. That was amazing. I could watch that as like a screensaver forever. Mr. Reindeer looks familiar too, but he reminds me of a newer actor who was on Fringe and then a bunch of other stuff. He was Moriarty, the new Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes sequel. It's totally not him, but they have the same sort of look.
I don't.
He's just taking a dump in front of a topless girl.
He's Mr. Reindeer.
But, like, I love that Lynch decided, like, you know what? We have to show that he's taking this call in the bathroom.
So that is William.
He's also
look
drinking
at this.
Coffee off the sink at the same time.
That's how he does his morning.
That guy is William Morgan Shepherd, most known for, oh, he was in this Elephant Man, The Prestige, and Transformers. Captain Witwicky?
Oh, he's Shia's great-grandfather?
Okay.
Or grandfather, or great-grandfather. He was probably in, like, one shot.
He doesn't act in a ton of stuff anymore. He was a priest on Sunny, one episode of Sunny. I'm trying to think what else. I don't think, yeah.
What a great sort of covert payment. Just slip it through the mail slot. Oh, I forgot he lives in Topless City. That one maid's wearing a weight belt. Like, it looks like a weightlifting belt. New Orleans
in a lot of Cage movies.
God, that shadow is amazing.
That's Isabella Rossellini, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The silver dollars in this, just like the gold coins in Wick. Like...
Yeah.
Just symbolic payment. Is that like a weightlifting belt? It's almost sort of like a cummerbund. Like it's very
is it a fashion belt? Is it?
It's fashion, most likely, but that's all it reminded me of. It'd be great if her character was just a shadow.
I like that they... So, what does she have? Hershey Kisses, and then that's just Pepto-Bismol?
Yeah. That is bizarre. I didn't know to pick up on that before.
That's a very important...
Detail?
No, I was going to say... Oh, I thought this was a different place. I thought this was the motel where they go to later. Or is it?
No, I don't...
That's where Isabella Rossellini lives, isn't it?
I thought that was... Wasn't that... Bobby Peru's? Didn't you know who he's calling? I only saw this once. This is your second favorite film. You tell me. Nolan's. Watch out. Don't go down the wrong street. You might bump into Sonny.
Acid Yellow?
Oh, that's right. Him too. Looks like those two knew Acid Yellow back in the day.
I know. They remind me of Steve Buscemi in, I guess it was Zandali?
Yep.
Where she's like freaking out on the street getting arrested.
Here we got Pink.
Humping over Pink.
We did Red, Yellow, now Pink.
Yeah, they're just like having sex the entire movie.
Yeah.
Young Love.
The Sailor and Lula bed only version would still be about an hour and a half.
There you go. Take me right over that rainbow.
Okay. Look at his smile across. He's like, she noticed. You got the sweetest cock.
That's talking all its little voice all its own.
I would give anything to be on set. Not just for this scene, but I just mean for this whole movie. Just to... Like, how did Lynch communicate with Cage, and what was that dynamic like? You know, what was their shorthand?
I don't even, like, he knows how to wind her up.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. And then it's a little wind-up mermaid toy. I would be afraid to, like, go to establishments in a David Lynch universe. Like, I would mostly hang out at home, probably.
Oh, this guy's the best. Quack. He just talks to the duck, right? Yep.
But that was, like, full-on Donald Duck.
The subtitles think he's saying, yeah.
He's saying, yeah. He's like cheering on the band.
Yeah, I heard it that time.
Okay, I'm just going to have a guy who talks like Donald Duck for a minute.
I mean, then, like later in the movie, you have, like, Double Lot Spool, who just talks about, like, my dog barks some. Like, what's the point of that? Like, there's just people living in this world that are just like, oh, you guys are making a movie? Like, let me just swing on by. Like, characters, like, written characters, but just, like, oh, God, now here we get the lipstick.
It also establishes that the people we're following aren't the craziest people in the world. Like, everybody is insane.
But also, they're, like, kind of, like, non-reaction to all this weird... Like, that's so Lynchian.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
he quacks at them, and they're just
and
like
yep.
Yeah.
Like, expected
like,
that,
they're
almost.
They're just like, thanks, and they smile.
It would have been weird if he didn't quack.
They never comment on the weirdness of any of the situations.
Which is what makes it, for me, so unsettling. Like, don't you notice how, like, your entire face is going to be covered with that lipstick?
Oh, this is so scary.
She does such a good job, though. Like,
yeah.
Applying it?
Yeah.
So even. So fully, so fully covered.
You would definitely need more than one tube of lipstick to do what she's about to do.
Mr. Reindeer and literally a table full of women.
Oh, she's in Fire Walk with Me. I mean, she's in... I feel like she's also in...
she's Adam's... She's Happy Gilmore's
Happy
grandma.
Happy Gilmore's grandma.
I feel like she's been in other Lynch stuff, though. I know she's definitely in... Isn't she in Fire Walk with Me? She has the boy with the mask on. Like, it's her with the little boy wearing the plague mask.
Yeah.
I don't know what her name is, though.
That's definitely my... Happy Gilmore is... Yeah, probably my favorite Adam Sandler movie.
Frances Bay. Oh, she died. I thought she might still be alive. She
died recently, right?
2011. She was in Twin Peaks: The Missing Pieces, which was when the Blu-ray came out.
Oh, okay. This is also strange. Like her lopsided foot. The cane, like, she's such a character. The one hoop earring and the one chain earring.
Unibrow.
Just great, yeah. Like, she looks like a painting or something. Like,
yeah.
Something that walked out of a painting.
Yeah.
She was in Twin Peaks. She was Mrs. Tremond.
Okay.
Chalfont. That was Fire Walk with Me. She was in one episode of the TV show, too.
Oh, okay.
Must have been in the second season.
She was in Twins.
Oh yeah, she is in Twins. She ran the orphanage where Danny DeVito grew up.
So here's another story about Twin Peaks and me and Jordan. Or David Lynch and me and Jordan. I think, did we start in college or after college?
No, it was after.
And she would come over, we would watch like two or three episodes. She would just drive down or whatever, we watched two or three episodes. And then, the way I remember it, I guess she never finished it, so neither of us finished it, but like, we got to like, somewhere in the middle of the second season. Like, we got like, we were probably like two or three, like, maybe like 12 episodes away. So we probably saw almost half the second season.
Okay.
And then she just never came over again. And then like, I just stopped watching because I was going to watch with her, and then I thought that she had said that she watched them all, but I guess she just watched the last one.
I definitely watched like maybe a little more than we watched, and then I hated it and I just watched the last episode.
But then I rewatched it all. Did he just make it that's what she said joke?
I was listening to you. I wasn't following along, but I would not put it past him.
I had a boner with a capital O. Like, they're so in love that he can tell her a story about him having sex with another woman, and she gets turned on. Like, it's just...
Mm-hmm. She's already grinding, like, on the seat.
Like, he's just telling a story. Like, she is never not sexualized in this. But, like, in an empowering way, though, right? Like, it's
That's
not...
how I feel. I don't know.
I don't know, because, like, you also get the impression that she's pretty dark on the inside. And she does get assaulted by a couple of men in this movie.
Oh, Peach. There we go.
Now, was Zonnally came out before this, or was Zonnally in the 90s, or was it in the 80s?
Oh, man. I'm on the spot. I think it was the 90s.
Zonnally was 91. So this predated that Peach reference, and definitely predated
I think
Face-Off.
This might have started the Peach reference.
The Peach Revolution?
I almost feel like Cage read it in this movie and then latched on to it.
That's also awesome that they used the lighter... flame.
Oh, in the road.
Becomes the dividing line on the road.
Yeah. We're getting a couple colors here.
I don't think we're ever going to get to, like, green and blue and purple.
Yeah, it never gets to the last colors.
It's just the passionate ones. This is also, like, the same shot that they showed before.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. Well, I have a feeling that there's not missing, but I have a feeling that this was probably cut down. Oh, cool. Like, this to me, I mean, Lynch is also kind of known for that, right? Like, he'll make, like, a four-hour movie, and then the studio's like, we're only going to release 2 hours of this, so... get cutting. I know that was with Blue Velvet, at least. Like, Dilo De Laurentiis was like, I will not release this movie a second over 2 hours, and so that movie is an hour and 59 minutes and 59 seconds.
Well, Twin Peaks, like, Fire Walk With Me, there's an hour and a half of deleted scenes on the Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's like a four-hour movie.
I gotta see that.
I mean, too. Inland Empire's 3:15 or something
Inland
like that.
Inland Empire is really long.
Well, Holland Drive is like 2:40.
And this movie is the kind of thing that meanders so much, I feel like you could pack another hour into it and it won't ruin it. It might even make it more awesome.
We were talking recently, when we saw the Arnold Marathon, we were talking about how American Honey is like this new kind of filmmaking. It actually is kind of a lot like this.
Yeah, it is starting. I mean, I'm starting to get that vibe. And that's funny because when I saw Moonlight, I would lump Moonlight into that as well, into that same sort of
Because it's not really genre. About things, it's about people.
Yeah, it's not so much a plot.
So we were talking about Jim Jarmusch earlier, and I have seen one of his movies. The one where Tilda Swinton's a vampire.
Only Lovers
Left
Alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of felt like obviously the style is really different than this, but I felt the same way where like it was just like watching people do stuff. It wasn't really, like, about that much, but I could have kept watching it for a long time.
It's weird because I feel like movies do that intentionally, like Dazed and Confused or Everybody Wants Some, and I'm not just saying that because they're Linklater, but like those are the kinds of movies too where it's like nothing's really happening, people are just hanging out for a long time, and we're watching that. And I'm liking those more and more. Oh,
but
yes.
Like more than once we've said that this is like a painting, and it is kind of like you, there's no set amount of time that you look at a painting, you just look at it. And this is a little like that. Or those kinds of movies are like that.
Hmm. Here, Crispin Glover freaking out in a Santa outfit because...
Like, look how dark her life is.
Yeah.
And we don't really learn anything about Sailor's past, right? Let me know if we do. I don't know that he ever tells... He told that one story about getting laid, but that's about it.
Well, he had bad parents.
Okay. I wonder if those aliens with the black gloves have anything to do with Twin Peaks aliens or anything. I think we were talking about on the podcast how... I mean, Twin Peaks was out by now, but a lot of this felt like it could have existed in that universe.
Yeah. Well, it's also a lot of the same actresses are in this.
Oh, yeah. A couple of them... One comes back when they go... When they, I think we mentioned when they have the accident on the side of the road.
Sherilyn Fenn is Woman in Accident.
Yeah, it could be her character from Twin Peaks.
Miss Audrey Horne. Except she dies in this.
Well, this could take place after the new episode.
I think she's in the new episode. Well...
I'll stop trying to rationalize, justify, whatever it...
Because who else is in... Because we got Cheryl Lee in this. We got Grace Zabriskie in this. Was she in Twin Peaks? Yeah. No.
Grace Zabriskie was in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I'm just second-guessing myself. And we have Sherilyn Fenn. Maybe a few others. Erica Anderson, who was just, like, in the fashion show, is in Zondali. It's all a shared universe.
Even Sailor doesn't...
He's so like weird. Chris Glover back from Racing with the Moon.
Oh, dude, back from Best of Times.
Also the Best of Times. Is this the last time he's in a movie, though, with Cage?
I think they crossed paths again. Or am I thinking of River's Edge? I'm thinking of River's Edge, where he gives my favorite performance of his career with Keanu.
So he's in movies with all three guys that we've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty cool. He's the interlocking... He needs to be in a Efron film. Yeah, I'm just watching the Nature Channel.
I'm pretty sure that no matter... Like, the types of movies that Zeph is doing are not the types of movies that
Crispin Glover's doing. I don't know. He wouldn't be in Baywatch? I guess not.
Like, that's insane.
But you know what's great about it is, like, if she's supposed to be the Wicked Witch was all green makeup, like, so she's the Red Witch.
Yeah, we don't know. The Wicked Witch had a sister who died because the house got dropped on her. We don't know what color she was.
The Witch of the East. Although I think they tried to explain some of that in Wicked, but I never saw that play. I heard it's great. Great music. Still waiting for the movie version. And even her fake eyelashes came off.
Oh, that's what that is, yeah.
Harry Dean Stanton is just getting ordered around this whole movie.
Well, because he's in love with her, and he's just going to do whatever. Like,
well, it's interesting to see the dynamic between Lula and Sailor, and then Lula's mom and the men in her life, too, right? Like, she's got this one guy she can push around, and then she's got the other guy who's kind of, like, ordering her around a little bit.
Who, in Santos? Marcelo Santos?
Okay, she is, like... All right, that did not suggest vomiting to me, but...
No, it was. She's so torn up about it. Because I think she finally realized that she actually... You know, this man that she might love, or, you know, at least tolerate, or whatever, her friend. She just realized that she sent a hitman to kill him.
It's so funny. There was, like, a stain on the TV in the movie, and I thought it was on your television until the shot. Twice, yep. Well, then she just got, like, the puke all over her face. That's what's also great about Lynch is I love his sort of play it where it lies kind of attitude about this, you know?
Oh, she's even got the curled shoes.
Oh, like, I did not pick that up.
Like the curled feet.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked Witch of the East.
That's right, when the slippers come off. Pointy.
I love this guy. Just snapping.
Lola. She's amazing. I mean, I can't say I've seen this movie enough to make it, like, one of my all-time favorites. I definitely love this movie, but her performance in this movie is one of my all-time favorite just acting performances. And, of course, Cage, you know, but I'm not used to her. I'm a little more, like, I could absorb what Cage is doing a little easier, but she's just continually, like, blows me away.
I like how there's so many signs for no smoking, and she's just like, fuck that. Like, I'm gonna smoke.
Like, I can't imagine anyone ever smoked near a gas pump. I mean, that is just ballsy. And I know you haven't seen Zoolander yet, Joey, and I mean, no rush or anything,
not
but
yet,
the best, maybe the greatest smoking near a gas
really
pump
good.
Sequence ever.
Oh, all the news is negative. She just freaks out.
I mean,
shouldn't we all be reacting that way to everything all the time?
Yeah, I feel like that news is nothing compared to like yesterday's news. In the reality we're living in right now, I feel like every time I hear the news,
yeah,
I react like,
great,
what the fuck?
So, like, back in the club, you know, he had ultimate control over the band there, and now here he just finds their song on the radio.
He's the fucking Fonz, man. He's, like, super Fonz. Because that was, like, one of Fonzie's big things. Like, he would walk
elbow
into the
it.
Place and, yeah, hit the jukebox and his song would play. This is some of the greatest interpretive dance ever captured on film. And Lula's like wearing that slip on the outside. Isn't that generally
it's like a
under your clothes?
What she's wearing.
It looks like she's
kind of amazing.
Oh, what a! I love that transition into the waltz. Lynch, again, he's one of those guys that just has such a master of the art. Like, I really don't feel like you can break the rules like he does until you really know the rules inside and out. And then you know he does, because he made that movie with the guy in the tractor going to visit his brother.
Yeah, he
right?
Did, like, a regular
The Straight
movie.
Story.
Yeah, The Straight Story, which is great, but it's like a Disney Channel film for families and stuff. But that movie's terrific, and yeah, I just feel like he's a master of the form.
Like, there's certain movies, like, I don't want to be like, you know, we can't be friends if you don't like this movie, but like, there's like, this is a movie where like, if you don't find something to like in here, like, I just don't want to talk to you.
I mean,
like, you don't have to love every, because like, I think it's impossible to love everything in this movie, but there's so much to love.
Well, this was definitely a movie, I feel like, through Cage Club, like, you turned me on to, that I should have definitely known about before. Like, this is something I feel like I should have been watching when I was discovering, like, Brazil and other weirdo stuff, like Taxi Driver, and, you know, getting into some, like, more serious levels of film watching. And I just am so kind of upset that I didn't get to watch this movie until recently, because it was one of a kind.
But wasn't there a TV show called Puccinski about a dog cop, dog detective?
Oh my gosh, I hope so. There better have been. I'm going home to watch that. I mean, there was Turner and Hooch.
No, Puccinski. Puccinski was a thing. I think it was a TV show that, like...
Right, there was a Poochie.
Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie? Puccinski is a 1990 television pilot featuring a Chicago police detective whose spirit is transferred into a flatulent English bulldog.
Holy crap.
After he's killed in the line of duty. The canine detective then returns to solving crimes. One episode. Aired on July 9th, 1990. So it's the same like year as this or whatever, you know?
Whoa. I hope that's on YouTube.
It did not pick up the series. NBC did not pick up the series, but did air the pilot. In recent years...
There's just a generally strange-looking person.
Yep. In recent years, the show's premise has been recognized as one of the most bizarre in television history.
Well, there was that pilot that Conan wrote starring Jack Black as, like, a motorcycle or something. It was some pilot where it was, like, a talking motorcycle.
Oh, he
motorcycle.
Was a car.
Yeah. He was, like, a car. And Ben Stiller was on it, I think.
Kuczynski, full pilot on YouTube.
Okay,
21
cool.
minutes, 29 seconds.
So we should watch that next, right?
And that's my watch later list. We're here, Mike, we're learning about his backstory.
Oh, okay.
He was not out being Mr. Cool. He's so honest with her. I mean, like, obviously...
Well, how long have they been together and he's never told her this?
I don't think they were really, like, together for that long.
I think they just fell deeply in love.
See, this is the whole thing, that Cage was involved with the murder of her father. He was the pickup guy. Marcelo Santos killed her father.
Okay. Here, Heat Vision and Jack, pilot episode. Great. I love bringing this stuff up and then needing a minute to actually find what I'm looking for. 1999... Heat Vision and Jack. Oh, man. Jack Black stars as an astronaut who flies too close to the sun and develops super intelligence, but only in the daytime. Owen Wilson provides the voice of Jack's motorcycle, Heat Vision, who's animated by the soul of Jack's old roommate, Doug.
Huh.
And Ron Silver plays the NASA stooge who pursues Heat Vision and Jack. Yeah, so the pilot's out there somewhere. Got a secret side. And this is the Chris Isaac song.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Wicked Witch again. Wicked Witch.
Which was in three Cage movies.
That's right. It's the official, unofficial Cage Club song. I'm going to say Matchstick Men, but that's probably wrong.
I want to look up the
The awards?
The awards. So Wild at Heart won Best Film for the Cage Club Awards. Because I voted for it, Mike voted for Raising Arizona, and Lindsay Gibb voted for Vampire's Kiss, and then the tiebreaker went to this. Best Cage role, Sailor Ripley in Wild at Heart. We all voted for different things.
They are really out.
Best Love
of
Story
nowhere.
Went to this movie. Best Cage line went to Snakeskin Jacket. Best song went to Wicked Game in Matchstick Men, Family Man, Wild at Heart.
Okay, I was right about the matchsticks.
Best Director, David Lynch, Wild at Heart.
Like, only Lynch can make a guy vacuuming the hallway really creepy.
Best Adapted Screenplay, Wild at Heart. If you want to see the Cage Club Awards, we put the podcast, we put the audio up on the podcast feed, but there's also, you can just search Cage Club Awards, Cage Club Podcast Award, Cage Club, Cage Club Awards?
Yeah, on YouTube. We did, like, a video, too.
And I like the editing that Mike's doing for Keanu Club, but that's, like, the best editing he's done, like, either of us have done for anything we've done. It's, like, it's so, like... It felt so awkward filming it, and it turned out to not be awkward visually, which is the highest compliment I can pay. God, that was such a weird day.
I tried to do it like an award show without any presenters. You know, like, you just see the clips and the titles and the awards.
Because we would just, like, read something out and be like, all right, we're good. And then, like, we just, you know, go to the next one or whatever. It was the...
Right,
was...
I think we intended to be on screen way more than we actually are on screen.
Thank God we're
but
not.
But we're not. Yeah. A friend of mine yesterday was saying we should do more video stuff for the podcast, but I think, like, we do so much already, and then we don't live near each other enough to do, like, enough video content, I feel. Like, I feel like we'll do another special at some point.
Oh, here comes Sherilyn Fenn. Well, we gotta do the Keanu Awards.
Oh man, do we?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I will.
Joe too also wants us to do a podcast network awards just because he wants to get an award. Like, he doesn't care what it is. Like, even if it's just like best co-host of Zach Attack.
Well, that's what it'll be.
He just wants to win an award.
A participation award. We can mail him one. You know what award that podcast will win, though? Actually receiving mail.
Yes. Oh, we have hate mail on the 17 Again episode.
Real mail?
Well, we've gotten hate mail from two people, both of which are my friends in real life.
We've been contacted a little bit through the Facebook page, which has been really cool.
And I've like random people, like, once every, like, 3 or 4 months, like, a random person will, like, start following me on Twitter and just be like, I'm listening to Case Club. I'm like, where did you,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Where did you get, I don't understand.
One of our longtime followers was the guy who runs the Cagepedia.
Yeah, Nick Cagepedia.
And
yep.
He, did you get the recent thing he said? He's like,
he's learning English by listening to our podcast.
It's helping him learn English. I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
There's Sherry Lynn Fenn looking
this
the same
like
thing.
A nightmare. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm having a nightmare every time I have
look at her.
Look,
look at Lula's face.
Are falling out of
yeah,
her head.
And she doesn't know it. She's going to die in like 2 seconds and she doesn't know. And she's worried about her bobby pin and her brush.
She's worried about her bobby from Twin Peaks pin.
I feel like
Bobby Riggs.
This is an experience that Sailor and Lula get to share that'll help define him in the way that, like, Lula doesn't have to keep telling horrible stories from her past. They're going to experience a couple that they can.
But this is also sure. Like such a, it's a bad omen. A bunch of bad stuff.
Oh yeah.
This. Like it was just them for so long, and it was like they really had control over their world, and now we just like see
now the world's like breaking apart around them. Yeah, like they're still intact, but the rest of the world is falling apart.
I would, so like,
oh just like, man. Itching her brain.
Her hair's moving. I'm, oof. She's probably touching her brain.
Oh.
So, who is she in The Wizard of Oz? Is
he...
Flying monkeys?
I feel like that's the Santos, because is that his name, Santos? He's more like a flying
he
monkey.
He could be the flying monkeys.
I know in the, I know he went more off the movie Wizard of Oz, but in the book they visit way more many places, and there's like the little, there's like the China, there's like the China glass village where like people are made of glass and stuff. And
Was that like the expanded universe of Babe's Toyland?
Well, I think just the, when they adapted the book of Wizard of Oz, they left a shitload out. And they kind of, like, made up a whole bunch of new shit. Yeah, let's get out of there. At least one of her last sights was Cage's jacket. She got to see that before she died.
It's still devastating. I mean, she probably wouldn't even see it. Her brain's just, like, all... mush. Don't get blood on that jacket.
Why did
Lula.
He touch her? Why did they touch her blood?
Maybe to know it's real. Yeah, what a downer. I mean, everything was just sort of, the world was their oyster, and
we could game back on.
Now they've got like a whole new perspective. I'm like, no, like, maybe we should be a little more careful.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do Keanu Awards, but I feel like the problem with the Keanu Awards is that like two movies are gonna win everything.
Let's just, yeah. Let's just award the Matrix stuff. Flying. Yeah, Hot Dog goes too.
Best Hot Dog movie.
Was Flying also the movie where she held up the picture of boobs in front of her
yep.
boobs? Because that was also my favorite thing.
But like, I want you to see... I'm glad you saw the Hot Dog scene in Sweet November because
sure
I don't want you to have to watch that whole movie.
That's bad.
It was a good Hot Dog scene, though.
You get a hot dog, and you get
so
a hot dog.
So speaking of, like, poorly reviewed movies, because that has, like, a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes,
Really?
Yeah. No, Sweet November, not this.
Yeah, I remember. I remember us getting into why that. Why was that movie performed so bad? We didn't think it should have.
But this movie, when I was IMDb-ing, it has only as a 52 on Metacritic, but it has like a 7.6 or something user score. So people, like fans, love this movie. Just critics didn't love the movie. I feel like now, like it's, you know, like a movie that took time to age. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I could feel it being maybe too much at the time, but nowadays...
Maybe everyone was, like, right. Lynched out at the time because of Twin Peaks also.
And Blue Velvet was just, like, a year or two earlier, too, wasn't
Blue
it?
Velvet was
two
like,
or 3 years earlier?
It was, like, 6 years earlier.
Was it that far earlier?
Yeah.
Wow.
Blue Velvet was 86.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, I didn't realize it was that far. But even still, there's that... You have to unpack so much in Blue Velvet that, like...
It takes a good 7 years.
Yeah. So nothing like screaming someone's name hello.
Twin Peaks premiered. Well, no. Twin Peaks premiered April 8th, 1990.
Okay.
All right.
And this movie was at Cannes in 1990.
Okay. So, yeah, they were sort of in the middle of a lot of Lynch stuff.
The release of this was August 1990. So, like, the first season of Twin Peaks had aired by this point. So, like, and that I don't think was... I think that was pretty universally liked. So I don't think that had anything to do with...
But I wonder if this was getting compared to that.
Maybe. Oh, absolutely. I bet it was.
Like this as much.
I'm sure, like, there's something like, oh, it doesn't work as well in a feature form. There's too much here. It should have been a series.
Well, I'm also curious because, like, later down the road, he's going to do Mulholland Drive, and that was supposed to be a TV show.
Yes.
And that didn't work as a TV show, so they just turned it into a movie.
Well, I think it was a pilot that got rejected, and then he said, screw it, I'm going to at least finish this first episode. Which, I will go on record, that movie scares me the most out of any movie I've ever seen in my entire life. I just rewatched it last year, and it's still scared the ever-living shit out of me. I just get goosebumps watching it the whole time through.
There is no band.
Fucking Blue Key.
I think I need to watch that movie again. It's been a long time.
I haven't watched it in a while. We're going to do, for that special project we have coming up, we're doing him fourth. With Chris Mediello. I'm excited to do so. So the secret project will have been out probably by now.
Okay.
I feel like we'll probably have released at least an episode by the time this comes out, no earlier than August. But we're doing, like, I'm excited to do Soderbergh, but, like, it's just such daunting, like, it's the biggest one, you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like it's not as bad as it looks. Like, I feel like people
It
is a lot of content, yeah. But I don't think it's going to be as difficult as we're expecting.
Because, like, especially down the road, like, well, it's not going to be difficult, but just, like, down the road we're going to do Sofia Coppola for, like, 5 movies, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, that'll be, like, a flash in the pan compared to everything else.
But, like, we're doing the Wachowskis third, we're doing David Lynch fourth. They're both relatively...
Yeah, we got a couple of quick ones. I think that's why we decided to start doing directors, is because we could sort of punch through an entire career in, like, 6 or 7 movies instead of, like,
Wes
40.
Anderson, P.T. Anderson, Christopher Nolan. Did we tell you what we want to do in between each director?
No.
We want to do, like, a standalone episode where just, like, somebody who's made 2 movies, like, watch both of those and talk about that in one episode.
Oh, that's fun.
So, like, David Robert Mitchell, who did It Follows, but also talked about The Last Slumber Party?
Hopefully by then, Annihilation will be out, which is the second movie from the guy who did Ex Machina.
Oh, Alex Garland?
Was that Alex Garland? Okay, yeah. He's supposed to be doing that, adapting Annihilation.
Like Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
No. It's about, like, some alien ecosystem on Earth.
We can also do Fede Alvarez and do the new Evil Dead, which I don't like, and Don't Breathe, which I feel like if I rewatch, I'm not going
to
like.
I'd like to do the films of Danny Boyle one day. That would be kind of nice.
Well, there's so many directors we want to do, but it's just... Whew.
I think because I saw the Trainspotting 2 trailer the other day, I was like, oh, I want to go back and watch a lot of his work. It's
That's
really
not
good.
Soon, right?
Yeah, next month, I think. No, by the time we're recording this, I think it'll be next month.
September?
No, March.
Oh.
We're recording this.
Oh.
It's February.
So now.
Yeah.
A month from now, not a month from when you're listening to this.
Yeah, sorry.
Your timeline's all screwy. This is terrifying.
She's
yes,
so
this is what
scary.
I was talking about before. Isabella.
What are they doing here? What is this?
They're going to kill him, but I think they're trying to freak him out first.
They're playing with their food before they eat it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just want to scare the shit out of him.
But, like, it's almost like a little bit like...
It's working.
It feels like... spiritual, or like...
Yeah, like...
they're casting a spell.
Oh, it does feel like...
like a ritual.
From Devil's Advocate, it feels like... not Delroy Lindo.
Yeah, Delroy Lindo. With the
like
tongue?
The chicken thing, yeah.
And the chicken? With the nail in the tongue? That voodoo
stuff?
I feel
like this is just New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is how we kill them in New Orleans.
Big tuna.
Oh, we're so close to Bobby Peru.
There ain't much here. It's like a wasteland.
But their car breaks down. So, like, this is like what life's going to be if they can't, like, fix things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It just says, fuck you.
Oh, another
nice Emerald City
another
reference.
Zardoz reference.
Yeah, that's what this is. This is based on Zardoz, not the Wizard of Oz.
We could do a Wizard of Oz podcast where just all films inspired by Wizard of Oz and just do, like, The Wiz and Zardoz and this and...
I watched The Wizard of Oz again, like, pretty recently, and, like, the whole middle of it doesn't really hold up.
No.
Well, it's
but that's like when she's meeting
years
everybody.
Old, so it's fine that it doesn't
no, but,
hold
like,
up.
I had
it is the same place.
Okay. No, but I mean, even, like, movies 80 years old, whole, I could see what she's saying. Like, I feel like there are movies that hold up especially well, and then ones that don't
it's
at all.
It's just like the beginning is so good, and that's the part everybody remembers, and then you kind of forget that there's this whole other part of the movie.
I honestly don't know if I've seen that from beginning to end. I'm sure
really?
I have, like, a while ago, but...
I just watched that recently with my nephew. He loves that movie. He's also six. So...
How do you feel it held up? From the time you first watched when he was three?
Actually, great.
Uncle Mike, I don't think this
it.
Holds up.
That Wicked Witch scares the shit out of little kids, though. I'll
oh my
tell
God,
you that.
Yeah, I was so scared of her.
You should just show him this movie. Just be like, hey.
Be like, you want to see...
Scary.
This is my Wizard of Oz.
Oh, was she threatening to, like...
out him?
Tallulah? Yeah.
I think so. That's why he told her. Because they have no secrets between them.
But how did she get from New Orleans to Big Tuna so fast?
No. Oh.
Or is that a different character?
No. Well, because New Orleans and Texas aren't that far apart.
Okay.
But New Orleans to Austin's an 8-hour drive.
All right.
I don't know where in Texas Big Tuna is. I mean, driving across Texas takes like 14 hours from tip to tip. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if this does feel like West Texas, which would be more of a drive. Is Big Tuna a real town?
I don't know.
I mean, Cape Fear is a real place, so I'd like to think so.
No,
no
Tuna,
that's
Big
a different...
Tuna, Big Tuna is not
okay.
a real town.
And that is a different character. I see she's got level feet, but she looks a lot like that weirdo that was at...
Wait, that's a different character?
Yeah.
Oh, they're sisters, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I guess I kind of
okay.
remember that.
There is no real town Big Tuna.
Okay.
Well, that's too bad.
Let's found it.
Somebody asked on Quora, you know, basically the modern Yahoo Answers, like, how to get his name? And the answer was, there's no town called Big Tuna. It's a fictional town from Wild at Heart.
I think my new favorite website is, not a website, but I like searching, are there scenes after the credits? Like, I think...
Oh, aftercredits.com?
Yeah, after every movie I've been walking out of recently, I'm like, well, let me just check, make sure while I'm still in the theater...
Yeah, I usually check it before the movie starts.
Oh, but sometimes they tell you what it is, so that's why
well,
I
no,
wait.
Well, no, because so the one I use is after, I think it's just aftercredits.com, and it, like, you have to tap on it to tell you what
oh,
it is.
Oh, okay, good.
But you can also see, like, is it worth sticking around for? And there's, like, a thumb
oh,
up, thumbs
yeah,
down.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and it's like...
Because, oh, yeah, some I looked at that in one movie I watched, and I felt like there should have been an extra scene. Oh, Resident Evil, and there's just a noise, and the guy wrote, it's just a noise, you can go.
Oh, yeah, because after the credits, yes, click to see what's after credits. We just hear the Red Queen say, you're all going to die down here. And 229 people voted, and something like 160 of them or something, or no, probably more than that, said, no, it's not worth sticking around.
No, that movie is just not worth seeing, period, sorry. There are, like, the first three Resident Evil movies I feel are worth your time, but everything after that, you could take a break, go watch some Underworld.
Or just a good movie.
Well, at least watch the actually, I'd say I like the second Underworld the most, but if you gotta watch one, watch the first. If you gotta, and you should never have to. But what's crazy, if I may, just to put a cap on Underworld, is it's so much a Matrix ripoff, it's not even funny. But that they even mention in Matrix Reloaded how previous builds of the Matrix had, like, werewolves and vampires running around it and stuff. Like, this is literally werewolves and vampires in the Matrix.
Yeah. So just a previous iteration of the Matrix.
Yes, right.
With Kate Beckinsale as Neo.
Yeah, yeah, it was a female one. And I even believe, like, someone is referred to as the One.
Here's all the lights that they're humping over.
Oh yeah, the rainbow.
Hmm. Oh, this sequence.
The guy in the background looks like Adam Driver. Like a 1990s Driver.
I think that guy... Isn't that the hot dog guy from The Happening? You want a hot... You guys like hot... Remember The Happening? No? With Mark Wahlberg? I think
I
that's
saw
the,
that once in theater.
I think that's the guy where they go to him and he's like, I got hot dogs. You like hot dogs? Speaking of hot dogs. And that other guy on the far...
Timmy.
The guy on the far right in the next shot's in a lot of Jarmusch stuff, early stuff. I used to follow him on Twitter. I can't remember his name. He had a great show, fishing show, where he died at the end of every episode, and Willem Dafoe was on one of them, and they froze to death in the tundra. John something.
So Timmy Thompson, I'm guessing. Frank Collison. He's from Twin Peaks.
Isn't that Eraserhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack Nance. R.I.P. Those guys are still very active, that guy in the background. This is a great speech. Yes, he was nursery owner in The Happening.
I can't believe I pulled that out. I mean, maybe because the hot dogs were stuck in my head, Jordan. So.
Speaking of hot dogs, now we're just talking about a dog. My dog barks some.
His eyes are so blue. I feel like I want to see Eraserhead in color now.
There's another Wizard of Oz reference.
Interesting thing about the Eraserhead DVD, you can, like, it has a feature where you can set the levels of your television in proportion to, like, yeah, it, like, when it starts, it's like, put your levels all the way down and increase them until you can barely see this picture, and then you're at the right levels for your surroundings.
Oh, yeah.
And so then it sets your
this
TV
like,
up to watch
like
the movie
the beginning of Nocturnal Animals.
Yeah.
Which can go fuck itself.
Didn't see, so
you
now I don't have to.
I hated it. That was my least favorite movie from last year.
Looks like a Leonard Nimoy book.
Because it was all art.
Here he comes.
Options. No, I disagree. Well,
Baba Peru.
I don't totally disagree, but I think it was an interesting way to make a movie.
Yeah, make a bad movie, sure.
No,
I only know people that like
I'm
really like
it
or really hate
it.
Oh, you? I know one or other, two other people that really hated it.
Well,
I still
whatever,
have yet to see
I'm
it.
I'm one of the Here. People who doesn't like La La Land. So.
Just read that.
Oh, you didn't? No.
I did read this.
What is with Bobby's teeth?
Watching Wild at Heart and also watching my cat sort of attack Jordan.
Well, she's faking me out.
Oh, high-fiving. That's I've never seen cats do that.
No, she's Aww. That's her being aggressive.
Oh.
It's okay.
She doesn't have nails, though.
Nope. It's okay. Hey.
want to say Bobby Peru's The Cowardly Lion. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think we ever get, like, Concrete, Tin Man, etc., etc., but...
Well, let's see. I think, yeah...
Well, who doesn't have courage? Bobby Peru has courage. He might not have... He might be the Tin Man, because he doesn't have a heart. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, there like you go. Ruthless. There you go.
Who doesn't have a brain? I guess maybe Harry Dean Stanton is possibly... No, he's definitely the Cowardly Lion.
Yeah, he's Cowardly Lion. That's a good one.
Who doesn't have a brain?
No, I like Stanton as the Flying Monkeys.
Yeah, I kind of like that too.
He's just doing the bidding. No, yeah, isn't Marcelo Santos kind of the
Yeah, monkeys? He's another, but there were a lot of them.
But he's not really, like, mindless the way Stanton is.
And these guys are definitely the Munchkins or something. Yeah, or they're right, or they're asleep in the poppy field right now, but this ain't the Emerald City.
So is Big Tuna Emerald City?
Do you think, like...
You want to say it's not quite Emerald City?
Maybe Lula is the Scarecrow.
I thought she was Dorothy.
Oh, you're right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like Dorothy and Scarecrow... For all intent and purposes, boyfriend, girlfriend.
We did this podcast episode. Yeah, you had a list of who everybody
was. I do
was.
On our. Yeah, but now I don't remember it.
You know, you look it up on your phone. You posted the picture to our to the blog, didn't you?
Yeah.
Garrett. Because when you laid it all out, we're like, yeah, that actually makes perfect sense.
And now I can't even remember what I said. Let's see.
You want to be on the podcast? Is that what you're talking?
I think she's made it on a couple.
She's on all sorts of things.
Okay. Ugh.
Did she tell him that she's pregnant?
She doesn't know.
Just that she barfed.
Yeah.
I know. I've never really heard a cat as vocal.
She talks all the time.
It's such a tiny little noise, though.
Hey. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Oh, was this last time?
Like, this is such an uncomfortable camera angle.
It's an abortion scene, right?
Yeah.
I'm also, like, totally okay with movies not showing graphic abortion scenes. I've seen it in a couple
think
different movies.
After Nymphomaniac, I never need to see, like, ever again.
There's another one that I've seen that's even more graphic than that.
No, really? Yep. She did it herself in that fucking movie.
It's close. If not more graphic, it's as graphic.
Jesus Christ,
wait,
I used to write long
then.
Ones.
So there's all kinds of gross stuff that you guys are okay with. Like, we were talking about John Wick earlier.
Yeah.
Why are you not okay with that?
Because I don't want to see them, like, sticking abortion tools into people and not cutting the camera away.
I think because that's, like, real world to me,
also,
and John Wick is
to
total,
it.
Like,
yeah, like,
fantasy stuff.
That's what I'm getting at. Is that why?
Yeah,
I think
100%. If I grew up, you know, she knew. She just wrote the card. I'm pregnant.
Oh, okay, she knew. He smokes all the cigarettes.
He's going to give her one. He's going to give her one.
So here's what I had at the time. I had Mama as the Wicked Witch, right. Santos as the Tin Man, Johnny as, because he has no heart, so that's
right.
Johnny as the Lion, which is Harry Dean Stanton,
yep.
Sailor as Scarecrow, and Lula as Dorothy.
So he has no brain?
Well, I don't think it's that he has no brain. I just think that he's
that's
tall and gangly, and he gets along with Dorothy the best. Like,
okay.
Also, like, isn't the lesson of the Wizard of Oz they all had the things
yes.
they thought they didn't have anyway?
Right. Yes. They just couldn't see it in themselves.
But yes, to answer your question, if I grew up with movies about abortion scenes, I would be way more okay with it.
Like if Arnold did, if he did abortions instead of shooting people, like, throughout the 80s, then it would be a little more acceptable.
Not that, like, that's, I don't,
you're
want,
aborted.
I don't want that to be acceptable, but it's like,
you're
I don't
not
see how
born.
That's different than all the other gross stuff that we see.
You won't be able to have children anymore.
Like, my problem with the scene in Nymphomaniac wasn't that it was, like, she was performing an abortion on herself. It's just, it was, like, graphically depicted to be so, like, medical and the way, I don't remember
that scene.
Well, there's two abortions in Nymphomaniac.
I think there's one in part one and one in part two. Yep. Yeah.
The one in part one is just, like, she learns how to do it, she's in school, and then in part two, she does it to herself.
Right, like, in her apartment.
Ugh. The other one is in The Tribe, sign language movie with no subtitles.
Here comes the Bobby Peru scene, and she looks like she just got her Victoria's Secret.
She's got the little red shoes on, just like Dorothy.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to say this again. I think I said it on the last podcast, but she has no suitcase, and she's changing her clothes all the time.
That's a good point, but I always felt that her clothes could fit in her purse, like the number of outfits she wears.
What I said last time,
okay.
Too.
Well, he's like, I'm not going to pull a Trump or nothing. Just going to use the toilet. Gosh, it's just the worst. That's the funniest subtitle I've seen in a while. Just in parentheses, in capital letters.
She has two colors. She's black and she's red. Mm-hmm. Her nails, her lipstick, her thong, and her shoes are all red. And it's covered up by black.
Bobby Peru figured it out in 2 seconds.
Well, because he's seen movies before, and the only reason that women ever barf in movies is because they're pregnant.
I think you brought something up on one podcast, and you're like, I was so relieved that she threw up and she wasn't pregnant, that it was like food poisoning or something. I don't, especially, this is uncomfortable.
Ugh. Not what he's saying, but
I
how...
I hit him.
Well, no, then he would definitely...
He would definitely rape
her.
Yeah.
Back, I know. But see, this is why I say she's not actually empowered. This is how trapped she gets all the time when Sailor's not there to protect
her.
Yeah.
They really hurt... The deck is stacked against her, too, in the scene. Like, she's pregnant now.
She's, like, naked in her room.
Yeah.
Well, but she also sort of, in a way, brought this upon herself.
I also feel like Bobby's a force of nature.
She didn't have to let him in.
No, but like...
But
what
Bobby,
if she hadn't? He probably would have just pushed the door open.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is like he's just such a force of it onto himself that he's a wild card. He can't control him. Even Sailor will learn that he can't control him. And Sailor sort of falls under the same spell, right? Like, he gets Sailor to do stuff.
Well, I think also it's part of, like, when they're not together, they're not, the powers are not aligned. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
They're just, they're literally half a person.
I just don't, I mean, I know why they did it, but they didn't need to give him those teeth. Like, the teeth are just that extra level. Like, even without them, Willem Dafoe is creepy and weird enough. Willem Dafoe, who will come back a bunch.
They're in his mouth for this shot.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe come back in John Wick. Different actor.
But he comes back in, we just saw him in Dog Eat Dog.
Yeah.
That's true. Nice little ketchup and mustard scene in that movie.
Best human hot dog scene ever.
Oh, like, this is just... Trump's America. Bobby Peru's famous. He can get away with it.
Yep. It's just locker room talk.
Like, that's funny. I mean, that's not funny, but, like, it's funny.
Joey, that is not funny.
Just the way he
says
it. That's
scary.
That's
funny.
The way that he snaps. I mean, it's funny because he's, like, so psychotic.
Not funny. He just, like, violated her so bad. Just so he could do it. Just so he could do that and mess with her.
I'm not laughing.
It's dark. Oh, look at that. It's the Wizard of Oz. She's clicking her heels, but this isn't the Wizard of Oz, so she's not...
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
See, now suddenly, like, the whole movie, like, wasn't actually, like, real life. Like, they were just sort of living in their own bubble. But now that they're apart, like, it is real life. And, like, real life sucks.
But also, they're never apart. You know, like, I feel like this is the first time we're actually seeing them split.
Well, this is the first time they've had... not really. He went to jail. I was going to say it's the first time they've had, like, a conflict. But he went to jail. I guess that's a conflict. But on this journey... This is the first time I'm dealing with
Yeah, she apparently didn't have a problem with him manslaughtering, though. Like, she waited for him.
Crying over you. I do like that this cage is like normal everyday jacket. Like, that's just like this when he goes out and about on the town.
Like he would. I mean, in that Draft House video of the caged marathon where he shows up in that like spaghetti western jacket and someone asked him about it and he's like, well, I saw this jacket in the window and I just had to have it. And he's like, don't you think it looks great? Like, I feel like in real life he's got like a crazy sense of style.
I didn't watch the Q&A. I couldn't bring myself to do
it. I still haven't been able to get through the whole thing because I was, like, getting pains for...
I watched about half of him reading the Telltale Heart. And I was just
I watched that entire thing.
I was thinking that if I was there, I would have, like, Facebook lived it, and it would have been great. Facebook lived it? Lived it through Facebook.
Now they're gonna rob the feed store. This takes like a this does sort of take like a Raising Arizona turn for a minute there. Like I remember at the end of that movie with like all the bank robbing.
Yeah, but not like a wacky caper vibe. Like a
I don't know. It gets wacky for this movie.
I think every David Lynch movie with a just a slightly different tone is a comedy.
Hmm.
He's like literally the devil on his shoulder, whispering in his ear.
Yeah.
That's an interesting reflection.
His future's not clear. Outlook hazy, please try again. How do you know that, Bobby Peru? Now, they're talking about robbing a feed store, but, like, what they rob is, like, a bank.
Yeah, it looks like a bank.
What is a feed store?
Well, I mean, I would imagine it's where you get like your chicken feed or your farm feed.
Yeah, but
that
like
you
it's definitely
your...
like behind like there's like tellers behind like.
Well, I
maybe
think maybe
it's a slang for bank.
Yeah, I think it could be actually. Slang. I think maybe like the feed store and the bank might share a building, especially in some.
No,
middle of nowhere.
It's like a livestock.
Texas town. Okay. Or maybe they're going to go to the feed store and he shows up at a bank.
Well, I mean, the robbery does not go smoothly because there's the cop outside.
Oh, yeah. Bobby gets his head blown off.
But still.
And it's a pretty good one.
I think I screamed the first time I saw that.
How many times did you see this movie before we watched it? Just once or more than once?
Probably just once.
There's a great head explosion in Chopping Mall. There's one in Deadly Friend. I mean, there's some good one in Scanners. For people listening that want good head explosions.
Head Explosion Club. Where we spoil every movie before we actually start.
Well, I didn't say when or why.
No,
or
no, no. I'm just saying like, if we did like a podcast about
oh,
it.
Oh, then you know a head is going to explode.
That, yeah, you know, just some point in this movie.
Stay away from red cars, Cage.
Yeah, it's not quite a red sports car. It's just like a red sedan.
It's a red caddy, but it's still red. we don't really know Sailor to be, like, that much of a criminal, really. I mean, he did beat that guy to death.
He was a manslaughter. Well, no, like, because he was running with Marcelo Santos.
Yeah, he's definitely
okay,
a
yes.
He's a lifelong criminal.
Again, I keep forgetting about, like, his sort of... before the movie started, what he
wait,
was
because we were well, when we were talking about that, you were too busy looking up about Hellraiser and Jack or whatever.
What was it?
The motorcycle movie or the motorcycle?
Oh, right, yeah.
Which was very important and informative, so I don't blame you for that.
Owen Wilson has like a motorcycle voice. Anyway. There's the crystal ball again.
He is the Scarecrow. Mm.
He has no brain. Like he, I guess he has like no foresight. Maybe like no, he doesn't think about like what.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's not a planner.
Yeah,
he's just a doer. He's like a dog chasing cars. He wouldn't know what to do with it if he caught one. He just does things.
Yeah, and well, I think Lula thinks he knows a lot more things than he actually does. He keeps her safe, but
Lula has so many tops you can see her nipples through. Basically, all she wears is underwear.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Like she got like that black leather bra. She's got these things. She's got that red thing that we couldn't figure out if it was like a leotard or like a slip.
What is
she's
it?
Those
lights
nice pants that you can see.
I don't know
through.
What those lights are. I've never
the
seen that
lights
before.
With the steer.
Oh wow! Yeah.
What is that happening?
Like, that obviously had to be in the hotel. They didn't bring that, but, like, what is that?
Why don't they just clean it up?
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that underwear. Holy crap.
Doesn't he have, in The Family Man,
yep.
Doesn't he have some... like
not
that?
Quite as G-string as that, but, whoa.
I have, yeah, like... I don't know anything about men's underwear. Is that a thing?
No,
I think that feels European and like early 90s.
Because that's a thing in women's underwear.
Sure.
I think maybe for like if you're like, I could see sports guys, you know, needing to wear stuff like that. That looked like a cup though or something.
Yeah,
you know?
There's pretty much three styles. There's boxers, there's briefs, there's boxer briefs. And then that's not a thing that like,
yeah.
That's a specialty retailer.
Right. That's like what she must like, so he wears them or something because... I don't, yeah. Even I don't see those when I go shopping.
This movie does fly by, though. Like, we're 25-ish minutes from the end. Why does she call him an angel, though?
Well, Black Angel is like the angel of death. He's a bad omen. He's a bad dude.
You just call him the devil.
It's more poetic to call him a black angel.
I guess.
Yeah, because angels are supposed to be white and nice. Or at least wearing white is what they're depicted as. She said the titular line.
The titular line!
I'm just so tired of all these Star Wars. Tired of all this traffic. Just can't wait till we get out of Africa.
I guess that makes us some kind of suicide squad. That fucking the out of Africa one is the best though.
Yeah, you know, he said the titular line in Out of Africa. They never say what?
Those are some shoes.
That's Marietta, though, right? No. Oh, it's... No, okay.
Well, okay, so they did that shot earlier, and she was there when the dad was killed.
Oh.
Here's Bobby Peru.
Huh.
Oh, yes, Grace Zabriskie and Isabella Rossellini are
they
the
look
sisters.
So much alike until they're next to each other.
Right? Yep.
And then they
right?
don't look alike at all.
Yeah.
One is older and one is younger.
It's so weird. Also, like, I feel like this...
And then that's Bob Ray Lemon, right? In the background with him?
No.
Is it?
No, because that person was there when Harry Dean Stanton was killed.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was their brother or something. That's the thing. A lot of this is left to your imagination, too. Like, as much as Lynch... Like, he still likes to be cryptic and confusing.
Yep.
But it's entertaining, you know? That's why I like it. Because he's never frustrating for me.
They're also, like, with him, I feel like there is no answer anyway. Like, he's never going to tell you what he meant because he doesn't give a shit. So it just is whatever, you know? The point of it isn't to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Iguana office. Doesn't he have an iguana in, isn't that in Port au Call, New Orleans?
Does he have an iguana? There's iguanas in there for sure.
I mean, he's looking at it, that iguana looking at me.
He's all in black now, though. I think, is this like the first time he's worn all black?
No. He was wearing all black a couple times.
Maybe just when he's angsty or misguided.
I like how he went up at the end of that sentence. What's she doing here, man? You can go higher than I can.
So that's Isabella Rossellini, right?
Yes.
And the older one is Grace Zabriskie.
Yeah. The one with the funny leg is Grace Zabriskie.
I always thought it was weird to, like, lock a convertible like that.
Well, I mean, I guess. I never really thought about it. You can go flying out without a roof, I guess, just as fast as with the door opening.
Well, I mean, you don't lock the door so that it doesn't open. You lock it so people can't open from the outside, but they can just get in.
Well, you also lock it so it doesn't, like, pop open
really?
While you're driving.
Is that a thing doors
you don't,
do?
You don't accidentally open the door from the inside?
Yeah, my cousin did that once when we were little.
I knew someone who did that by accident, was, like, sort of dragged by the car for a little while.
Good, you weren't muted during that. We
oh, yeah, because that was, like, real... Yeah, that was some... That was a deep cut.
Like, she's basically a painting here. Like, she's
mm-hmm.
just...
Looking at that horse.
Girl on a horse, comma, Lynch, comma, 1990. Such a weirdo.
All right.
Well, so your favorite movie is Planet of the Apes. What's your second favorite movie?
Oh, man.
What's your favorite movie?
I haven't considered that in a long time.
I feel like I have a lot of different movies that I like for a lot of different moods.
Well, if you could only watch one forever, Desert Island Movie. That's how I figured out. That's how I did my list.
I don't think I could pick one.
Jordan, you have to.
I don't think I could.
I mean, I feel like...
Lobo,
like,
Ramos. I'm just looking for tips here. Like, there is feed, but it feels like a bank.
They probably have a lot of money in the feed store,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, maybe... Like,
well,
maybe
they carry $5,000, they said.
Maybe they're worried about getting robbed, so there's... I don't know. It's not glass. It's not
or
really
maybe
stopping
it was,
anybody.
Maybe it was a former bank that they just... Maybe it's just a building that they could shoot in, and it just happened to be like a bank.
You know what was my second movie for a really long time was the original Night of the Living Dead. Like, I used to watch that almost every night in high school,
Every night?
Just about. I would just put it on, like, doing homework. I would just have that movie on all the time.
Coming to get
I burned through, like, 2 or 3 VHS copies of that, too. Like, they legit, like, snapped from watching too much.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big one for me, the first night of The Living Dead. Brazil is a huge... That's, like, top 5 for me.
I watched that once and I hated it.
Wow. I watched that a lot. That's one of the movies that got me, like, into movies, like, to want to, like, do stuff in the movie industry, like, maybe write movies or, you know, make movies. I mean, there's got to be a Cage movie on that list somewhere.
Well, what's your favorite Cage movie?
It might be Adaptation right now, because you get two Cages, and they're so drastically different, and it's just so well done. That's at the top. You know, Raising Arizona, that's at the top. Oh, that Bobby Peru. No ammo. See, he doesn't have a brain. He is a dummy. He is a scarecrow. Too slow.
Well, there's this two. This is double barrel.
So scary.
Well, he's like completely unhinged now.
Who is that? That's an actor.
The
that we
cop?
Know. Yeah.
He might be a Lynch, sort of one of the Lynch players. Oh! Terrific. I mean, you just... This is the only movie that's ever been. Blows his own head off.
I don't know this... What would this guy's name be?
I love that. The inside of the feed store where the guys are just like shot to shit.
Lost
looking
fingers.
For his hand or but yeah. There, that's the ultimate Lynch. Just the dog running out with the
there
hand.
There was something I read about how like being on a Lynch set, like he'll be like, alright, I need a chimpanzee, a woman with one leg, and, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah,
and
some
like
pancakes.
45 minutes later, like, somebody has found all of those things for him.
That'd like, be a fun set to work on.
Candy necklace.
He really uses old men a lot.
Hmm. Well, there's sort of like a stigma against, I feel, like old age actors a lot in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, and he really uses them, even if it's just to have them stand around in the background.
Just wants to remind you that people get old.
Well, because I feel like he's always sort of been an old man himself.
Yeah, I get that sense of him. But it's kind of strange how many people live to old age in his movie universes. They just seem so violent and insane that not a lot of people would make it to old age. More than I would...
Okay, that actor
consider.
Is Neil Summers, who was uncredited in this movie. What has he been in? He's in Shawshank Redemption. Dick Tracy.
Mother and Daughter Reunited.
RoboCop.
I did not recognize him from RoboCop.
I don't think he's also in Mars Attacks. He does stunts in Mars Attacks. He's mostly a stunt guy, I guess.
Hmm.
He just looks familiar. He looks like somebody. Lulu looks so young here.
I feel like she's...
Different hairstyle, like tied looks, back, like sort of like a schoolgirl sort
of. She looks like more normal. She's not all sexed up.
She's not a lioness.
What happened to the other guy?
That's the best.
Who, Harry Dean Stanton?
Yeah.
They killed him.
I don't remember that.
She just screams
really
when he touches her.
I really lose track of that plot as many times as I've seen this. He's smoking two cigarettes again.
Well, when they were sort of torturing him, remember the way that New Orleans do it? They shot him at the end of that scene. You don't see him die, but they shoot him.
Oh, that's why I don't remember.
See, kids in prison, like, you know, he also, in Con Air, the same thing, you know, his wife was pregnant.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he got out and missed, you know, his child.
Missed
youth.
The birth.
And that's why he got the bunny. And in this movie, he doesn't have a bunny, but he has, like, a teddy bear or something, right?
He comes out with something.
She's always horny, like arousing her nipples with the ice glass.
And she looks for real insane now, like no makeup whatsoever.
And in the last 5 years and 10 months or whatever, she's grown a backbone.
The mom, like, clearly has a drinking problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much of
Oh, right, and then it melts. Mm-hmm. Because the wicked witch melts from the water.
Like, how much is the mom's behavior, like, some kind of metaphor for being an alcoholic?
Mm-hmm. Red sports car.
Oh, yeah, didn't we, like...
That freaked us out when we first
No, because we didn't know about it yet. No, did we?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we did.
Never on Tuesday, but it was a couple movies ago. Another accident. Oof.
The weirdest universe that he develops.
Just waiting on my Lula. She's got this look, like, when she sees him, like, it's like she still can't believe, like, she's actually seeing what she's seeing.
Well, this time it's almost been 6 years as opposed to just 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's been
even longer.
Yeah, it's been
1 week since I looked at me. 6 years since he went to prison.
That's a nice little lion, though.
All right. They're still not married, right? Like, he hasn't proposed yet?
No,
because he won't say until...
He hasn't sang love.
Mm-hmm. She has to be his wife. Pace Ripley?
Oh, no. This is what Pace's IMDb picture is.
Oh, no.
May I see? Oh, please.
His name...
How old is he now?
He's 33. He was about 7 in this. Glenn Walker Harris Jr. He's an actor, director, producer, known for General Hospital, Anastasia, Say Anything, and this.
Oh, was he the kid in Say Anything? With John Cusack's nephew in Say Anything? I don't remember any other kid in that movie.
He was Jason Dobler, whatever that is.
Yeah, because that's Cusack is Dobler. That's so. Yeah, it's his nephew. He teaches kickboxing.
There you go. I feel like in this movie he would teach him like a sort of metallic like karate dancing. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to describe that. It's like, I guess karate dancing is the best way to do it. This is their collective, like Dark Night of the Soul. Thank God it only lasts like a minute and a half.
Right, this is when they actually break up for a minute. Boy's frightened.
Well, his mom's freaking out.
Mm-hmm. We're so close to the end, and now I'm finally, like, just watching it.
We're so close to Cheryl Lee.
So, this is all based on just the first short story?
Yeah.
Wow. How?
I mean, it's like, so the all, like, six or whatever, is like, I think it's like 200 pages. I think it's not like a, it's not like a short
story. Oh, it's a book.
Or like, well, it's not, maybe it's not that long. It's the longest, I think it's the longest of the bunch. Maybe it's over 100 pages, I think.
All right, so it's like a novella, novel kind of thing.
Maybe we'll get it.
His son's got some style.
Well, they're a very stylish family.
Peanut. There he goes.
It's all of them in one. It's not the new one. It's like 130 pages.
Okay.
Then there's one about what? Perdita Durango, who I think is referenced in this, and that's like 115 pages. Then Sailor's Holiday is 70. Sultans of Africa is 80. Consuelo's Kiss is like 70. Bad Day for the Leopard Man is like 70. Imagination of Heart's like 70. So it's like twice as long as any of the other ones. You know what I mean?
Is there anything else you feel like they could have adapted?
I don't remember. I read this once like years ago.
Oh, here we go. Confrontation. He's like surrounded by 10 guys, just in the middle of nowhere.
And then he's about to drop a line that, like, is just intentionally to get his ass kicked, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me, did either of you watch Always Sunny this week?
No.
Nah. Oof, that's the one that does it. Here she comes.
Here's Cheryl Lee.
Glenda. The Good Witch.
Sailor.
In her soap bubble and everything.
Sailor.
I love that David Lynch watched Wizard of Oz and he's like, yeah, this is what I get. This is like how I see it. How I'm going to regurgitate Wizard of Oz.
It's funny, but it's also sad though, because he's just like, I'm not good for her.
Yeah.
She's like, no, but
well,
like,
look
you
what
are.
He's put her through. He's not really good for her.
Oh, but she wants him. It's what she wants. Oh, she said it again. She sounds like the lady from the Poltergeist. Carol Ann.
Tiny lady.
Turn away from the light. I mean, love.
I like that they all kicked his ass and then just stood over him and watched him.
Yes, I am.
That's the best.
It's meant to be. I like to think that she heard that.
Well, this is when she melts, right?
She's melting.
I think those are actually baby pictures of Laura Dern.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I wonder that in movies all the time.
Now, do you think the mom actually turned into smoke in real life, too? Like in the movie? Not just the photo, but that she vanishes?
I think she's gone.
Hmm. Look at that hot rod.
This is so beautiful. That because of that accident, ostensibly we saw before, right? It was just like a standstill. Sailor. Pace just so happy, just sitting there.
Mommy and Daddy. Cute kid who will one day inherit one of the greatest jackets in film history.
Oh man, what an inheritance. What?
She's like, and
get ready for it,
here it comes. Great.
It's so good. I like how Crispin Glover is fifth build.
He's in the movie for like 2 minutes. He's before Marietta.
Yeah, he's in it less than Eraserhead, and yet he's got higher billing.
That's weird. Man at Shell Station's first name was Cage.
Cool.
What's after the credits? Worth sticking around for? Yes.
Well, we at least have to hear him sing Oh, Love Me Tender.
Of course. Cool Martyr.
This is a good way to search for baby names when you're reading credits. Yeah, so far, both movies we did commentaries for today had the credits over the final shot.
Yep, which is nice. Love to see if the next one continues that streak, or if it's a combo breaker. Eric Darre. I know that. Why do I know that name?
What was his credit of?
I think it was a...
Casting assistant Eric Darre.
I think he might be in the Twin Peaks credits.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. This is all Lynch's
people.
Crew. So, yeah, all the, you know, the wardrobe people, I'm sure. The casting directors.
Because every time you watch Twin Peaks, you watch the full credits at the beginning.
Yeah.
All 3.5 minutes of
them?
Yep. Are they really long?
I think they're not on some of them. Yeah, no,
I think it's 2.5.
I like that music.
New Orleans crew.
I wonder if the credits stop when he stops singing. That'd be cool. To just fit them all in.
Oh, Eric Darre is Leo Johnson.
Oh, there you go. I wonder if does he act in other stuff? Or is he just a crew guy who they made an actor? Like Bob.
Is that where Bob was, too? He was just a crewmate?
Bob was an accident.
Okay.
Bob was like, there wasn't supposed to actually be a person playing Bob. And that guy was on crew, and David Lynch just, like, saw him in the shot by accident and was like, oh, you're Bob now.
So Eric Darre has been in
nice
20 things.
Oh, this keeps going without music.
That's weird.
It's a little weird. It'll at least have, like, some kind of noise under it.
3 of the 20 things are Twin Peaks related. So he's not really an actor.
Does he have, like...
He was a medic in Starship Troopers.
Yeah, like, does he have other crew credits?
He has 8 films in the casting department. 1 in archive footage, 1 in art department, and 1 as self, so...
All right, here we go.
Mostly he's an actor.
Post-credit scene or not?
No, there's nothing.
Are you positive?
Thanks for listening. Come back whenever we release the next one or for the next one, whatever that's going to be. I don't know. So we'll figure out what we're going to do. You'll know by the time you know more than we do. So enjoy that. Pull that over our heads. And there's the Cowardly Lion.
There you go.
Bye.